Welcome to Westgate Messages Plus, where we share our Sunday messages and bonus content. We hope you enjoy this deeper dive into God's Word and how it transforms our everyday lives. Thanks so much for tuning in.
Also want to extend a good morning to all of you and welcome. My name is Luke. I'm one of the pastors here. As a follow-up announcement to Becca's announcement, those of you who are auditory learners, you picked up the accurate information about that learning circle by what Becca shared. For those of you that are visual learners and read that paragraph, that's not at all what it's about. It is not round two of Peter Kapsner teaching us about biblical sexuality. I'll take the ownership of that one. We'll get a correct. Leadership is going to be the focus of that learning circle. Oof, okay. So hopefully you got an answer to that question, where is a place or a season or a time or an area where you feel most connected to God? That was an intentional question to lead in today's message. I want to tell you about my answer to that question. My parents have a lake place on Little Pine Lake in Pahrump, Minnesota. Does anyone know that area at all? Detroit Lakes, Pahrump, that area? Yes, yes. And we grew up going there every summer, every weekend. We called it mandatory family fun. And we would go out there, and it was the five of us, and we would go Friday evening, we would stay till Sunday evening, and we would have these fantastic weekends out there just relaxing and doing all the fun lake things. And I started getting into this habit like late junior high, like early high school, of in the late nights when my family would either go to bed or they were kind of busy with other things or whatever, I started going out on the dock at the lake. And I started going out there, and I would lay down on the dock at the lake, and especially on days where there was like a nice cool breeze where it would like keep the mosquitoes away, I would just lay there for like hours and look at the stars in a place where it was dark and quiet. And I would be in that moment where you can feel the breeze, and in your ears you can hear the waves just kind of gently crashing and nothing else. You don't have to hear any other sirens or horns or alarms or anything, and it would be so dark. And I would just marvel at the stars and how many they were. And that's so often when I was back at home in Fargo, you didn't even know they were there, right? Because the light pollution would keep you from doing it. And I felt closer to God in those moments than perhaps any other place I've ever been in my life. And I used to do it all the time. And the reason I share that, the reason I wanted you to be thinking about that, is because today we're going to talk about the environments that God has created for us to thrive in. Okay, we're in this idea of Genesis, which is talking about new beginnings and fresh starts. And I want to make the point today that so much of our human existence, our human experience, has to do with our interactions with the environments around us. Okay, let me give you a few examples. Sometimes I feel calm when I look out the window and I see the snow is gently falling from the ground. That's why I feel so anxious this year. I don't have those moments. I sometimes feel comfortable when I'm next to the warmth of a fire. Right? I often, maybe more often than I should, feel satisfied after eating a great meal. Or a big meal, even if it's not that great. I get excited in the morning when I know there's a whole day ahead of us and we're going to have lots of time where we get to forge our own path and make our own plans and sort of see where the wind carries us over the course of a day. I feel frustrated when it's too cold or too icy for me to go outside and do the things that I want to do, go on a run or whatever. I also feel frustrated when it's not cold enough or snowy enough for me to go outside and do the things that I want to do. Okay. I feel lonely sometimes when I feel closed off by the four walls of my office. Or maybe for you, it's the four walls of your apartment or the four walls of your bedroom. When you feel closed off from the environments around you. I feel anxious often when it feels like there's not enough hours in the day to get things done. Right? Where I just need more time. These are all examples of how our interactions with the environment around us have great effect on our human experience, okay? And the idea of Genesis and fresh starts is that God is a God of new beginnings. And I want to help us see today, as we look through verses 3 through 13 of Genesis chapter 1, I want to see that it sometimes is really a matter of our perspective towards the creation around us. That really is what allows for us to have fresh starts. We're going to see how God has ordered an environment that is beautiful for us to interact with. Okay? Feel good? Let me read for us out of Genesis chapter 1. I will read verses 3 through 13 for us. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. Then he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day and the darkness night. And evening passed and morning came, marking the first day. Okay. As I read here, note that you probably all know these really well. Try to open your mind to let's see some new things in these today. Okay. Verse 6, then God said, "Let there be a space between the waters to separate the waters of the heaven from the waters of the earth." And that is what happened. God made this space to separate the waters of the earth from the waters of the heavens. God called the space sky, and evening passed, and morning came, marking the second day. Verse 9, then God said, "Let the waters beneath the sky flow together into one place, so dry ground may appear." And that is what happened. God called the dry ground land and the waters seas, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land sprout with vegetation, every sort of seed-bearing plant, and trees that grow seed-bearing fruit. These seeds will then produce the kinds of plants and trees from which they came," and that is what happened. The land produced vegetation, all sorts of seed-bearing plants and trees with seed-bearing fruit. Their seeds produced plants and trees of the same kind, and God saw that it was good. And evening passed, and morning came, marking the third day. So if you grew up anywhere centered around any of the major three world religions, or even if you didn't, you probably know these stories. You've heard about these days of creation. Now, when we grow up in Sunday school, in the Christian world, we spend a lot of time focusing on what it is that God made and making little pictures of all the cool different things that God made on day one and day two and day three. And we would get really, really focused on what each day was, the specific thing that God made so that we can remember that. And then we always say at the end, "God made it all and it was good," right? And then we go home, right? But after however many years of hearing that version of looking at Genesis 1 over and over and over again, I start kind of wondering, is there more to be found in these verses? Is there more to be found than just looking at the days and he made this and that day he made that and that day he made that, okay? So instead, today, we're going to focus on the goodness of the earth that God created. And I have a question for you to think about, okay? If I was with kids, I would say, this is time to crank up your brains, okay? If you're not with me quite yet. Do these verses that I just read about creation, do they describe a creation of matter and material, or do they describe order and operations? Okay? Do these creation verses describe matter and material, or do they describe order and operation? Okay. In this book that Pastor Kevin had us study as a teaching team, The Lost World of Genesis 1, we were introduced to this concept of viewing creation as functional, not just material. And so we started talking about that, diving into that, and we really got excited as we started thinking about these things a different way. Okay, so let's talk about the difference between viewing something as material versus functional. Okay, material versus functional. So if I said God made the drums, okay, our 21st century American Western way of thinking would say, okay, God made the metal little pieces there, and God made the whatever the wood is, and then the what's that, like moleskin, is that a thing? Or what's the drum head made out of? The plastic parts, the someone, anyone, God help me. Okay, whatever. You know what I mean? He made the what's that, brass, the felt and the cymbals. Is that right? But what if, when we say God made the drums, we really mean God made the beats that keep our music steady? God made the noise that keeps the energy going. God made the function of using drums to keep music moving forward, or when they used to use drums to keep a group marching steadily together. You see what I mean? We say God made the drums, and we think, okay, yeah, the metal and the pieces and the stuff, the material. But what if we thought about it as a function? I'll give you another example. This up here, we debate over whether we should call it the stage or the platform. We'll go with platform because we don't want it to be on a stage. Does that sound good? Yeah. So if I say God made this platform, okay, those of you in the 21st century Western American way of thinking will think, okay, God must have made some wood and probably some screws or some nails, and God made some carpet, and then God had the people come in with the drills, and then God made the platform, right? Or what if, instead, we said God made a space for worship music to come from? God made a place where God's word could be preached, right? God made an area dedicated solely to him and his word. Here's another one, last one. Many of you in here probably helped to make possible this sanctuary that we're sitting in right now. So I say God made a sanctuary. The sanctuary at Westgate Church. Look above, you see all the wood, and you see the lights, and you see the fire sprinklers that we were probably forced to put in here, and those kind of things. And you see the soft foam on the chairs, and you see the carpet and all the material, you see the glass in the windows. That's a very 21st century Western way of thinking, is to see the material. An ancient way of thinking about God's creation is to see the function, that you collectively work together as a church, before I was here, to create a space of worship, to create a place where people gather in the name of Jesus Christ. That's what you made. You didn't make a room. You made a dedicated space for the Lord. The creation of these things is as much functional as it is material. Okay? So let's apply that into these verses. So here's day one. God said, let there be light, and there was light. Okay, that sounds kind of material, right? We can apply that. Like, okay, here I go again with the same thing as the drums. God made the photons, the filament. He made the electrodes. Literally, I have no idea. He made the stuff that brings the light. Right? Okay, so there's some material element to that, okay? Maybe, I don't know. And then God said the light was good. Then he separated the light from darkness. Okay. And God called the light day and the darkness night. And evening passed and morning came, making the first day. So he separated the light from darkness. Well, darkness doesn't exist. There's no material form of darkness. It's just absence of light. He separated those, so he's not actually making anything material, but it's part of the creation story. So then you look at this and you think, well, what's the function here? What's the function of light and darkness calling one day and one night? And all of a sudden you start to realize that it really was God's intention for there to be time. God made the function of time for us to live within, the bounds through which we order our days and have a collective living experience together, where the light comes and we have this 12-hour period or whatever it might be, then the night goes away, and then we have the next morning where the sun comes up again, right? Not quite yet, actually. Thanks, though. Then there's day two. You see where I'm going? See this? See it? Starting to see it. Material versus functioning. Day two, let there be a space between the waters to separate the waters of the heavens from the waters of the earth. Okay, again, making a space is not a material thing. He has created nothing in day two, nothing new from a material standpoint. And this is what happened. God made this space to separate the waters of the earth from the waters of the sky, waters from the heavens, and he called the place sky. So what if instead of the material act of creating space, which doesn't compute with our Western way of thinking, what if what this is really telling us is that God made a weather system that keeps his environment operating? God created the weather. That's function. That's not stuff. That's a system of order that continues through all of time to maintain the various seasons, to keep alive the various creatures, to continue on this ordered environment that he created. Day three, then God said, let the waters beneath the sky flow together into one place so dry ground may appear. Okay, maybe he materially made the dry ground. That makes sense. And by the way, I'm not saying in any way that God didn't make the material, right? Of course he made the material. And that's what happened. God called the dry ground land and the waters the seas, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the land sprout with vegetation of every sort of seed-bearing plant. Okay, so he makes the plants. We get that. There's material. I'm not even going to do it. There's like the stuff inside the cells that make the, you know what I mean, right? You're sick of that? That's the last one, I think. He made the stuff, of course. But it goes into talking about this, well, then the plants made new plants, and then those plants made more plants, and the plants made fruit, and the fruit, and then they made more fruit, and there's seeds inside the apple that then becomes another apple tree. He made an ordered system that functionally provides us with food so that we can survive and live and thrive and have the energy we need to do the things we want to do. There's a function there of what God's creation was designed to do for us. He made the time that keeps our lives moving forward. He made the weather that keeps it all working together. He made the food that sustains all of his creation and keeps it going forward. And when you start to think about God's creation as both material and functional, you start to view your interactions with that environment a little bit differently. Okay? So here's an example. Here's a way of thinking about this as I was thinking about it. God, as he was creating the world, did not intend to create a diorama or a shadow box like we used to make in elementary school, right? That thing where it like takes the scene and puts it in and then everything is stuck there exactly in its place where you look inside the box and you're like, oh, cool, that's a thing that must have happened, right? You guys know what I'm talking about? That's not what God was thinking when on the 6 days of creation he, oh, now I can look at it and it'll be great. That's not at all what he... And God also, I don't believe, made something that I would liken to like a fishbowl, where it was like, okay, I'll put the people there, the thing there, and then I'll put what they need in there to survive, and then I'll just watch them just do that all day long. And then I'll give them more food, and then they'll die. That's not fun. That's too simple, right? Instead, how I started thinking about it is of this idea of a sandbox, okay? I have a shameless plug for the St. Louis Park Community Center pool, okay? If you have any young persons, people in your life, okay, they have at this community pool a sandbox. And I'm not talking about like some little sandbox that you have in your backyard. I'm talking about this picture. This is the best pictures we could find, but these are like showing like a portion of it. In this sandbox, literally it's the size of this whole platform. And inside this sandbox, they have hundreds of scoops and trucks and diggers and rakes and like amazing things to work with. And then, genius, they put these two towers in there where they built in this tower. It's like a pipe thing, and then it's got a thing coming off this side and a thing coming off this side, and water flows out of the towers so that you can use it to like rinse off the tools and to use the water to make like wet sand that you can make channels in. And then there's another one over here. So usually there's like a big river thing that people have made over here. You have everything you need to build whatever you want in this amazing, epic sandbox. Okay? Check it out next summer. That'll be $50. St. Louis Park. Just kidding. But it's so cool because when you get into it, you get to just explore and live and create, and it has all of the things that you functionally need to have an awesome time in the sandbox. He doesn't put you in there and say, do it this way, and you must figure it out that way, and you have to figure it out this way. He puts you into the ordered system and lets you play. And lets you live. There's a reason that we're called human beings, not human doings. Because God isn't as interested in what we do being the right thing as much as he's interested in who we are, how we live. So let's go through all 6 days of creation. Just as a refresher, okay? So in light, he separated it from the darkness. Day 2, there's space between heaven and earth, created the weather. Day 3, the dry land comes through and separates the seas, and there's the vegetation, the agricultural system comes into play. Day 4, the sun and the moon and the stars to govern the day and the night. You can understand with what we know about tides and what we know about whatever you guys all know about that stuff. Day 5, there's the fish and the birds to multiply and fill the earth, right? So that when I'm out on Little Pine Lake, I can go fishing. And there's this hole with the eagle coming in and scooping up the fish so the eagle can live. And then day 6, he brings in the animals and the human beings. And then he says in verses 28 and 29 here, and Pastor Kevin in 2 weeks is going to get a lot more into this concept, but in verses 28 and 29, he says, then God blessed them, the people, the human beings. He said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it, reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground. Then God said, look, I have given you every seed-bearing plant throughout the earth and all the fruit trees for your food. And I have given every green plant as food for all the wild animals, the birds in the sky, and the small animals that scurry along the ground, everything that has life. And that is what happened. So he creates this environment, and in so many ways, it's perfect for human beings to thrive within it. Not to just do the things that he has scripted out for us to do, but to truly live. And all of the ordered systems that exist throughout all of creation are designed for us. For us, his most beloved creation. So follow the logic here with me. If you're like, what are you getting at here, Luke? We're trying to see how Genesis shows us that we believe in a God who gives fresh starts. And much of our existence is about the way we interact with the environment around us. So think about it this way. God says, I didn't make you a spectator. I put you in the game. He says, I didn't write a script and they put you in there to act it out. I created a scene, a set, and I just love to watch you improvise. Last week in our pre-service meeting, the kids were on stage, and so they were back there with us praying, and one of the kids prayed for, thank you, God, for instruments. And we talked about it afterwards. We were like, wow. God says, I didn't make some heavenly speaker system so that you could just listen to the angels singing in heaven. No, he says, I gave you a voice. I gave you ears. I gave you hands to go make instruments, to go write music and sing it out beautifully. That's what he loves. I gave you a backyard to play in. I gave you seasons to be excited for. I gave you all the ingredients you need to cook up a creative, delicious meal. I gave you dark nights so that you could experience new morning mercies. If you want me to be blunt in terms of how this might play out for you in whatever circumstance you're going through in your life, whatever type of fresh start you might need, I would say it this way, which is the way Hillary says it to our boys and to me sometimes. You are not a tree. You're not a tree. If you're stuck in your situation waiting for the environment to change for you, maybe instead you just remember that you get to interact with the environment. It's not something the trees get to do. You get to move your way through all of these different things that are happening and start to forge a path that would be pleasing to God. So here's a few practical do's and don'ts, okay? If that's helpful to you. As I thought about this, as I think about this, and I go into this week and what's coming up in 2024, I know that I ought to appreciate God's creation and stop complaining about it, right? It's fun to complain about the weather. I get that. Kind of disrespectful, right? Kids, yeah, I can complain that sugar makes my body do things that I wish it wouldn't make it do, but yeah. Kind of passing the buck on that one, right? When we step into a new day with appreciation for the environment which God has created for us and the good things inside of it, something changes in our hearts. When we complain about the things that God has intended for good and put around us in our lives, something changes in our hearts. Okay? Step number two, I would say, is to make the most of God's creation. Make the most of it instead of taking it for granted, right? We all know that our time on this earth in this environment is limited. And when you're a young person, it's really hard to think about that. I think that changes over time, where you start to appreciate your days a little bit more. And you start to figure out ways where you can make your day the most meaningful it can be, your relationships the most meaningful they can be, your experience outside, the most meaningful. I don't know, does that mean turn the screens off? Does that mean put the phone away? I take for granted the good things God has put in my life an awful lot. Number three, to care for it. Instead of squander it, I don't know that there's like a ton of space in our preaching of the gospel to really talk about like caring for the environment and environmentalism and all those types of things that goes along with it, but I think it would be a miss to not at least point it out here, right? To not realize that God has put us to reign over all of these good things, these ordered systems. He's put us here as caretakers and overseers of it, so I got to check myself before I throw the straw wrapper out the window kind of thing. And number four, I can count. Last one would be to find joy in it instead of miss out. To find joy in it instead of miss out. And I don't know for sure that this is going to necessarily create the fresh start that you're looking for, but this could be a good place to start. Is to think about your interactions with the environment around you. Because God has ordered a world that is really, really good. And he did it all for us. For us to thrive. And I'm not saying it's easy. Playing in a sandbox is really, really messy. And it's really exciting. And it can be really frustrating, especially if you're watching a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old try to play in it. There are times in a big sandbox where the different strangers come together and they sort of look each other in the eyes and they say, let's build a castle, and they work together and there's this teamwork dynamic and it's awesome because they made something with all their creativity and they put it together and it was awesome. And there are other times where you're just trying to build your castle and some other kid comes along and stomps on it. There are times that we feel really proud of what we're making and what we're building and what we're doing. And there are other times where we feel just like we're just sitting in a wet pile of dirt without knowing exactly what to do. But I want to share the way the writer of the Gospel, Luke, also wrote the book of Acts. And he wrote this. And the Message version, I think, provides the most meaning for us here today. Acts 17 says, "The God who made the world and everything in it, this master of sky and land, doesn't live in custom-made shrines or need the human race to run errands for him, as if he couldn't take care of himself. He makes the creatures. The creatures don't make him. Starting from scratch, he made the entire human race and made the earth hospitable, with plenty of time and space for living, so we could seek after God and not just grope around in the dark, but actually find him." It's in our interactions with the environment that God created for us that we find God. And it's in God that we find fresh starts. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for this day, this moment, this hour of worship that we've had together. Thank you, God, for the fresh air that's in our lungs, for the light that brightens the day so that we can see outside and make a plan. Thank you, God, for our breakfast, for our lunch, for our snacks. Thank you, God, for all of the good things that we get to marvel at in this world. For some of us, it's coffee. For others, it's birds. Some of us love to see the stars. Others love to feel the waves crashing against us. God, thank you for those good things that encourage us and show us your power, that extend your mercy and your love to us each and every day. And finally, God, I want to thank you for the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, whose blood covers over the ways we squander your creation, forgives us for that, allows us to turn from wicked ways and instead look towards you, God. I pray for all of my friends here that we collectively would step out into this day with a new perspective towards this beautiful creation you've given us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.